Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU First Quarter 2019 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I am here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first quarter of 2019, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number 2 of our presentation. Before we get to the actual results for the quarter, I'd like to explain two issues that affect the comparability of the numbers between 2018 and 2019. The first, as explained on slide number 3, is that IFRS 16 went into effect on January 1, 2019. This is a financial reporting rule that affects how lessees account for lease contracts, and since we lease all of our stores, this rule has a significant impact on our financial statements, although it does not have an economic or cash impact. Our financial statements and earnings release both contain a complete description of the effects of the application of this new standard. But to summarize, under the previous standard, IAS 17, some of our lease contracts qualified as finance leases and some qualified as operating leases. The contracts that qualified as finance leases were recognized on our balance sheet as financial liabilities and as lease assets. And on our P&L, we had to recognize the corresponding depreciation and interest expense. For the contracts that qualified as operating leases, the lease payments were treated as lease expenses within SG&A. Under the new rule, IFRS 16, essentially all of the lease contracts must be treated as finance leases, which means that we've had to recognize a new asset and liability for the contracts that previously qualified as operating leases. We also have to recognize depreciation and interest expense associated with the new asset and liability. Our lease expenses have decreased, which has a positive impact on our EBITDA. The application of IFRS 16 means that many line items in our financial statements cannot be compared year over year. However, in our earnings release, we provided pro forma figures to help analyze our performance, and we've also included those numbers in this presentation where relevant. The other issue, described on slide 4, has to do with the sale of our ComStarMart subsidiary in April of last year. With regard to the presentation of ComStarMart, all of the information in our March 2019 financial statements is comparable with the prior year figures because ComStarMart is presented as discontinued operations in both periods. In this presentation, all historical figures are comparable because for periods prior to 2017, we are using revenue, OPEX, and EBITDA for the food retail segment only. And in 2017, 18, and 19, we only have the food retail segment. Hopefully, all of this makes sense, but of course, feel free to get in touch with any questions. And now we can get to the numbers. On slide number 5, we have revenue, which increased by 0.5% in the first quarter of this year. The formats that had the strongest revenue performance this quarter were Peru, OK Market, and the cash and carry segment. Gross margin increased from 28.5% in the first quarter of 2018 to 29.2% in the first quarter of 2019. Reflecting higher commercial efficiency in the quarter. On this slide, we also have same-store sales and sales per square meter. Same-store sales performance tracked revenue performance, with the best results again coming from Peru, OK Market, and cash and carry. Sales per square meter grew 5.2% in the quarter, and part of that is due to the fact that we have been optimizing selling space in some of our stores, and also some stores have had their selling space modified during the remodeling process. On slide 6, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first quarter of 2018 to the first quarter of 2019, where you can see what I mentioned on the previous slide. Peru had revenue growth of 19.8% measured in Chilean pesos and 10.9% measured in soles. OK Market had revenue growth of 6.4% and cash and carry grew 2%, offsetting the lower revenue in Unimark and e-grocery. On the next slide, we have operating expenses defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Administrative expenses are affected by the application of IFRS 16 because lease expenses are 9.3 billion pesos lower under IFRS 16 than they would have been under IAS 17, which was the previous standard. In the graph, we've presented operating expenses for the first quarter of 2019 both ways. First is a pro forma version, which is comparable to the historical figures. On a comparable basis, operating expenses increased 3% year over year, and as a percentage of revenue, they increased from 22.0% to 22.6%, approximately 60 basis points. The most significant increase was in personnel expenses, and that is mainly due to the increase in the minimum wage. Average headcount remained relatively flat year over year following last year's restructuring program. We also had an increase in distribution expenses, mainly to higher oil prices and the exchange rate. Our rate of centralized distribution was 46.3% for the first quarter of this year. That is the percentage of revenue that comes from products that went through our distribution centers, as opposed to being delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. That number is slightly lower than the 2018 figure, but this is because of product mix. We have continuously been increasing the number of centralized suppliers. And in fact, if we look at the number of boxes we moved, there was an increase with respect to the first quarter of last year, but the products we moved were lower value products, and that is what is reflected in the centralization rate. However, centralization should increase this year, and we are seeing the positive effects of our efforts in terms of in-store product availability, which improved year over year. Going back to the OPEX graph, the final bar with the white and gray stripes shows OPEX for the first quarter of 2019 as it was presented in our financial statements under IFRS 16. As you can see, under the new rule, OPEX fell with respect to the first quarter of 2018, and that is because of the change in accounting treatment for lease expenses. On slide 8, we have our EBITDA, which, excluding the effects of IFRS 16, grew 3.4% in the first quarter of this year, and our EBITDA margin increased 20 basis points from 6.5% to 6.7%. reflecting the gross margin expansion, partly offset by the increase in OPEX as a percentage of revenue. Just like on the previous slide, in the graph here, we've presented EBITDA as it would have been calculated under the previous accounting rule, IAS 17, which is comparable to the historical figures, and we have also provided the official IFRS 16 figure, which is not comparable. IFRS 16 has a positive impact on EBITDA because of the lower lease expenses. On the next slide, we have an explanation of our non-operating results. There were a couple of significant one-off items last year, and here we have separated them. On the slide, we have a graph comparing our non-operating loss of 29.9 billion pesos for the first quarter of last year to our non-operating loss of 12.7 billion pesos in the first quarter of this year. Last year, we had a one-time non-operating loss of approximately 8 billion pesos relating to an organizational restructuring program we carried out in January to improve operating efficiency. Last year, we also recognized non-recurring financial expenses of approximately 5 billion pesos relating to the partial prepayment of our international bond in February. Recurring financial expenses fell by 2.5 billion pesos as a result of all of our efforts to reduce debt and strengthen our capital structure. Another impact relates to our inflation index liabilities. In the first quarter of last year, there was inflation of around 0.6% in Chile, and that generated a loss on these liabilities of approximately 3.6 billion pesos. In the first quarter of this year, there was essentially no inflation, which means these liabilities didn't change in value, and consequently, we don't have a loss on our P&L. Finally, we have the effect of IFRS 16 on non-operating income. Interest expense increased by 1.9 billion pesos. In addition, there is a very small effect due to inflation index liabilities, just 1 million pesos. On slide 10, we have net income, which amounted to 7.7 billion pesos in the first quarter, an increase of 7.2 billion pesos, because last year we had a very low comparison base due to the non-recurring expenses. Excluding the effects of IFRS 16, net income would have been 9.3 billion pesos, 8.8 billion pesos higher than in the first quarter of 2018. The total impact of IFRS 16 on the bottom line is negative 1.5 billion pesos. This is the sum of the lower lease expenses, higher depreciation, higher interest expense, and lower gain on inflation indexed assets and liabilities. Broken down, the higher net income is due to 0.9 billion pesos of improved operating income and 19.1 billion pesos of improved non-operating results, partly offset by 10.8 billion pesos of higher tax expenses as our pre-tax income improved significantly year over year, as well as a 0.4 billion peso decrease in profit from discontinued operations, since last year we had a profit from ConstruMart, and this year we don't have ConstruMart anymore. On the next slide, we have an update on our financial debt. There have not been any real changes since December. We haven't taken on new debt, nor have we amortized debt during the quarter. Our maturity profile for bonds and bank debt hasn't changed, and excluding the effects of IFRS 16, our ratio of net debt to EBITDA has remained at 3.8 times. However, as you can see in the graph, under IFRS 16, net debt to EBITDA jumped to 5.1 times in March. This is because we have the full effect of the new debt we recognized under the new rule, around 250 billion pesos, but our last 12 months EBITDA only includes 3 months of the new and improved IFRS 16 EBITDA. Once we have a full year of IFRS 16 EBITDA in the denominator, the ratio will still be higher than it used to be, but it will be lower than it is today. Regarding our covenants, our financial debt contracts that contain covenants also contain clauses that allow for changes in covenants when there are changes in accounting rules, so that the original spirit of the covenant can be maintained. As reported in our financial statements, the covenant limiting the ratio of net financial liabilities to shareholders' equity has been modified from 1.3 times to 1.66 times. This covenant applies to our local bonds and goes into effect for the financial statements as of December 2019. On slide 12, we have summarized some of our recent highlights. With respect to our operations and plan FEMA, we continue to move forward with our Unimart store upgrade plan. We reinaugurated one store in March, and we have four more currently in progress. This year, we've also opened four new OK Market stores to date, two in the first quarter and two in the second quarter. And with respect to our promotional activity, we continue working to optimize our promotions in order to better meet our customers' needs. With respect to operating efficiency, as I mentioned before, centralization as a percentage of revenue decreased slightly in the quarter, but that is a function of product mix. They've continued to make progress this year, and the centralization rate should continue to grow for the full year. In-store product availability continues to be a central focus for us. We have been increasing our use of planograms in our stores, and we are also increasing our internal restocking, giving us more control over what goes on the shelves in our stores. From a non-operating standpoint, we are happy to report that at the end of April, Feller Rate upgraded our credit rating by two notches, from BBB to A-. This is in line with the sustained improvements to our financial profile. And finally, in April, we had our annual general meeting, at which shareholders approved a final dividend equivalent to 30% of net income for the year 2018. That dividend was paid on May. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We'll pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question comes from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I wanted to ask about Unimark and the sales performance. Can you give us a sense or an explanation of what explains the relatively weak performance this quarter, and what should we expect for the rest of the year? And the second question regarding your gross margins, you talked about commercial efficiencies driving the improvement in gross margins. Can you just give us some color as to what are some of these efficiencies that you're obtaining? Thank you.
Hey, Alonso. Thank you for your questions. The first question about of the sales performance in Unimark, no doubt the sales performance in Unimark is affected for the behavior of the sales in the total industry that was weak in the first quarter, in the same trend of the last year. Also, we had a very intensive promotional initiative in the industry. And in this scenario, the company decided to keep or to protect the gross margin, and that is in connection with the second question, that because it's the reason that the gross margin of the company increased again, because we are doing more personalized promotion activities, optimizing the promotional activities with more data of our clients, with the idea to have more elasticity in the product we select in our promotional activities. On the other hand, our competitors haven't opened more stores than us in the last 12 months, and these stores are at the maturity of the store today is higher, with impact in our market share, of course. Our remodeling plan allowed to offset partially this effect, but no doubt the company needs to open more stores, and it's the idea in 2018 to open 4 stores in comparison with 1 store in 2018. Also in OK Market, the idea is to open 10 stores, and last year we opened seven stores, excuse me. And also in the future, the idea is to keep more aggressive plan in the opening plan in Unimark, in opening 4 or 5 stores in comparison with 0 or 1 store in the last 2 or 3 years, with the idea to offset the action of our competitors in the industry. In terms of the future for this year, we're expecting the maturity of our remodeling plan. In fact, the store we remodeled in 2017 are doing with good performance and also good gross margin in terms of sales and also in gross margin. And the idea is to obtain the maturity of the remodeling plan implemented in 2018, in the second half of 2019. And in this line, of course, we need a more strong behavior in the total industry and in the food inflation. But anyway, we're expecting some improvement, but not so significant improvement in the second half of this year, because we're expecting for the total industry a similar performance that the first quarter of 2019 and the full year 2018. But we're expecting that our CIMA plan, with improving the customer experience in our store, with remodeling plan, with the maturity of the previous remodeled stores in the previous year, to reach a better sales performance in the second half of this year.
Thank you, Arturo. And one more question, if I may. On Telemercados, we saw a big drop in sales. I mean, can you just give us some color as to what's going on there and your digital strategy in general?
Yeah, Telemercados decreasing in the last 2 years, and especially the last 12 months for the competition with the last mile. No doubt the effect in Telemercados is evident. And also we are stabilizing the platform, the new technological platform, with some improvement in the next. We're expecting to finish the improvement in the next 3 months, and also we're expecting to have the unimart.cl in the end of this year, with the idea to implement the online business in Unimar as well, with improvement that we implemented in the telemercados. But also the strategy is to do commercial agreement with the last milers. In fact, we have contract with or agreement with Rappi and PedidosYa yeah today, with the idea to combine both elements to do more strong in our own platform, and also to develop agreement with the last miler, especially for the express delivery. With the idea to prove, because this market, the online market in Chile is not consolidated still. And we believe that it's important to have in different segment or options, like through Last Mile and also with our own site, with the idea to prove different logistic alternative, with the idea to analyze the cost and also the profitability of this business, that because it's a difficult business in terms of the profitability. That is the strategy for the rest of this year.
Great, thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one at this time. The next question comes from Arvind Bal with TRG Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my question. Just a follow-up on the gross margin. It's a figure that was substantially higher than last quarter and probably higher than we've seen in all preceding quarters. Is this 29.2, is this a sustainable figure going forward? Or I know last Q1 there's a lot of promotional activity. So if we see promotional activity pick up, should we expect a decline here? I'm basically asking, how do we think about the figure for gross margin for this quarter? Is this a figure that will be kind of sustained going forward? Will it go beyond where it is? Yeah. Or is this a little bit of a higher figure and things will probably revert back to historical levels going forward? Thanks.
The gross margin, we think that is sustainable in the future, but I think it's difficult to improve in the same level of the first quarter of 2019. 70 basis points was a very, very important improvement. But of course, probably this gross margin could be higher eventually, because the company, as Carolyn mentioned, will increase the centralization in the future. And in that scenario, we will receive a logistic fee from the suppliers, but we have, as counterpart, the expenses for this service that we offer for our suppliers. Therefore, the gross margin will increase in the same level of the increase in our expenses or distribution costs. Independent of this possible improvement in the gross margin, in the improving our commercial efficiency could be better, but not too much, because I think with the more personalized promotion activities, we can keep the current margin. We can improve a little bit, improving our shrinkage that is included in this gross margin. We always is possible to improve 20 basis points or something like this in shrinkage of that the company had today. But not too much than this. But in summary, I think it's sustainable, the current gross margin, and could be a little bit better for the more centralization or shrinkage reduction in the next months and years.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great day, and we hope to have you with us next quarter. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.